Ministry in the church can be life-giving and life-changing. And in the midst of it, we all need faithful companions along the road. Welcome to Along the Road, a podcast on faith and leadership for ministry leaders of the PCUSA.
So, you're a church leader serving as a ruling elder or a deacon, but you also have almost a dozen other roles: child, parent, sibling, spouse, engineer, custodian, teacher, coach, Rotarian, dog walker, fill in the blank. Come join us in the midst of your day, wherever you are, to be inspired in your role in the church. Become nourished and renew your call. Formation as a leader doesn't happen all at once, so let's walk along this road together. I'm Martha Miller, and I'm excited to travel on this journey with you. I'm also excited to welcome our guest, Michelle Thomas Bush, with us today. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Martha.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you serve in the church?
Thank you. I'm an associate pastor for youth and their families at Myers Park Presbyterian Church in Charlotte. I'm also, like you said, a parent, a mom, a wife, and also have a lot of other things going on just like everybody else. So I loved your introduction. That's a great way to frame kind of how we live in the church and in the world.
Right. Great. Thanks so much. And as you've identified yourself as a leader in the church, I wonder if you could try to identify for us a time that you felt God's presence.
Recently, I've been doing a young adult Bible study, and we talked about just moments when we were going to take a risk this week. And one of the young adults said, just, I took a risk being here tonight. Mm. The way the group responded to her, I thought, this is being held in the love of God. Mm-hmm. Because she really said, I don't need to take a risk. I did it tonight. Mm. And you could see the circle shift around her and hold her. And I thought, I am witnessing something very profound in the moment. And I didn't expect it. It's mm-hmm. a women's circle, you know, that mm-hmm. you know, happens mm-hmm. all the time. And mm-hmm. so I think God catches me off guard and surprises me. And I'm grateful for that.
Oh, that's wonderful. But there's definitely all those times, even when you have everything prepared and you have an agenda and you know what you're going to do, God surprises us in amazing ways. So as we've identified, God's presence can be felt in lots of different ways. I know you've been working a lot in the area of mindfulness. Can you tell us a little bit about what mindfulness is?
Yes, mindfulness is really just being present in the God-given moment that we have before us without judgment, with kindness to ourselves and with others. So it's just being intentional about being in this moment. And however that is, it takes some work to do that. And sometimes it takes some intentionality to stop. It can be prayerful, or it could be a prelude to prayer. Mm. It's a good combination with prayer. So it can be just a time to stop in the middle of something that's causing you to be anxious or a conflict and be mindful of where you are in this moment and to be kind to yourself and whoever you're with in that moment. But there are some intentional practices you could do with mindfulness.
Great. Thank you for that introduction. I know that much of your mindfulness work based on your ministry has been with young people in the church. How do you see this practice connecting with and becoming beneficial for deacons and ruling elders as they serve in the church?
I've actually seen it moving into even our liturgy in church, where people are really hungry for a moment to stop and breathe, to be attentive to where they are, to see where their feet are planted, and are looking for some practices to observe their thoughts and be responsible for their actions. So I think it's a great practice for worship, for prayer, but also for our work in doing justice and for committees and anything that we do together. It's a good practice for how we move in relationship with people, which is all the time.
Right, right, exactly. All of our relationships and exchanges.
Right, and it helps you be more attentive to the spirit that's moving in your midst. Mm-hmm. And I think mindfulness really is based in biblical practices and modern psychology, so that's an interesting twist. But with these practices, it allows you to be attentive to God in this moment and to sit in that moment to see where God is leading you.
So as you've talked about, it takes a lot of practice and there are different ways we need to practice it. Are there specific things that you could just tell us easily that are ways that we can get into the practice of mindfulness, or is it something that we need a professional to lead us through?
No. This is something very easy you could do by yourself. I do think it takes some time. I mean, I've talked with people and they've said, no, I cannot do that. I cannot stop my mind from moving fast or from not thinking. But the practice really does stop you from spiraling and to be fully present in this moment. And so one simple practice is just to use your fingers to count your breathing. And so we talk about like just taking 3 deep breaths and sit with your feet planted on the floor, your back against the chair, and take 3 deep breaths. And as you do it, if you just put your finger out, that helps you focus on your finger. As you take your first breath, in and out, that's one finger out, and then relax your forehead and your face. With your second breath, relax your shoulders. With your third breath, relax your feet and your hands. And that's it. Mm. You know, we say take 3 deep breaths, but if you're not relaxing the rest of your body, mm-hmm. or you're not taking real deep breaths, or you're not stopping your thinking, that's where the process stops. So I think if you hold your finger out for a minute, then you're focused on that and you're not thinking about what am I having for dinner later? Or I wonder if that person is going to speak up next. You really are relaxing and entering those thoughts, letting those thoughts exit your mind. Does that help?
Yeah, it totally helps. And it occurs to me that in sort of the society that we're in now, where we always have a phone in our hand and there's notifications popping up. And we talked about all the roles that people have, that someone needs you all the time, that could really be beneficial, particularly for church leaders who are engaged in this ministry and really identifying where God is present and making room for the Spirit, I guess.
Exactly. And it's also helpful in a crisis. We talk about mindfulness being that critical pause between your overwhelmed feelings of being wronged and your reaction. Mm. And so if it's that moment of pause when you could stop, and in mindfulness, there is a mindful stop, using the acronym for STOP, where you stop, S means stop, and you don't react. You just give yourself that brief moment. And T means you track your breath. Breathe in and out. And then you observe. The O is observe what's going on right now. What are your thoughts? Appreciate your thoughts that are not facts. With young people, I always say, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's true. You know, so it's not, appreciate your thoughts, but realize they're not fact. And then get a sense for where you are. And then P is proceed with kindness. Mm. And imagine if we stop for a minute in the midst of an argument and give yourself just that moment of pause. And then move forward. What a difference that would make in any church discussion.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah, that's really powerful. I really like that it has an acronym. I like how the first practice you talked about was focusing on fingers, and then the second practice had the acronym. I think it's really helpful to get our minds in a different place.
Right. And they're really practical. Mindfulness is a really practical tool to be present in the world.
Yeah. Oh, great. We're continually being formed as leaders and as busy people, busy leaders. How can mindfulness be a part of our formation? But are there other ways that you see connections?
I think that recognizing that this needs to be a regular practice, that it can be part of our faith practice, a spiritual discipline, is important. It's not just something that, you know, you can, you know, wash your hands and remember your baptism. And that's a very simple mindful practice. But it can be a daily practice to sit in silence. It's a habit that you can create. And maybe that leads to contemplative prayer that you begin to build that practice. But I think that forms your faith in a very rich way.
Okay.
But it needs to be something that's a part of your daily rhythm.
Right. And I think it can connect our spiritual life to those other roles that we hold as well, that we're always God's people no matter what we're doing or where we are, and
exactly.
Putting that focus there.
Yeah. And mindfulness isn't a Christian practice. There are mm-hmm. people who are not people of faith who use mindfulness and who are present in the world and who use it to calm their mind. But as people of faith, it is a practice that we can use as faith-forming practice.
Mm-hmm. Good way of putting it. If you had a piece of advice to give to church leaders, those serving as ruling elders and deacons, what piece of advice might you give?
I think what I've learned from mindfulness is that I need to be kinder to myself and to others. And I think that first part is so important. I think we don't often think about being kind to ourselves and take time to be fully present with ourselves first before we are fully present with others in the world. And that's an important step that I think we all need to do as the body of Christ. And so I think if we could stop for a few minutes and be kind to ourselves, we'll be much kinder when we move out into the world.
Great. That's a good piece of advice. Really good piece. And I think the practice of mindfulness lends itself right there with that. I'm inspired to be better at practicing it myself. And I really appreciate the examples that you gave and the specific practices that you've shared with us. That's great, Michelle. Thanks so much for sharing this with us and really giving us some practical examples and some practical tools to go out there and continue serving and serve even better.
Thanks, Martha. I appreciate this podcast for our leaders.
Yeah, thank you very much for being willing to join us and share your gifts with the church. We hope that you have been nourished through this episode of Along the Road. You're invited to visit the website for PCUSA Leader Formation for additional nourishment for ruling elders and deacons, www.pcusa.org/leader-formation.
This has been the Along the Road podcast. We look forward to crossing paths with you again soon.